grins. As a matter of fact, I do. Seems in my past life I was shot right in the ass. Must have bled out. I smile and bring my hand to my forehead, giving him a proper captain's salute. I step into the elevator and turn around to face the open doors, admiring the extravagance of the lobby. This place seems more like a historic hotel than an apartment complex, with its expansive columns and marble floors. When Corbin said I could stay with him until I found a job, I had no idea he lived like an actual adult. I thought it would be similar to the last time I visited him, right after I graduated from high school, back when he had first started working toward his pilot's license. That was 4 years and a two-story sketchy complex ago. That's kind of what I was expecting. I certainly wasn't anticipating a high-rise smack dab in the middle of downtown San Francisco. I find the panel and press the button for the 18th floor, then look up at the mirrored wall of the elevator. I spent all day yesterday and most of this morning packing up everything I own from my apartment back in San Diego. Luckily, I don't own much. But after making the solo 500-mile drive today, my exhaustion is pretty evident in my reflection. My hair is in a loose knot on top of my head, secured with a pencil, since I couldn't find a hair tie while I was driving. My eyes are usually as brown as my hazelnut hair, but right now they look 10 shades darker thanks to the bags under them. I reach into my purse to find a tube of chapstick, hoping to salvage my lips before they end up as weary-looking as the rest of me. As soon as the elevator doors begin to close, they open again. A guy is rushing toward the elevators, preparing to walk on as he acknowledges the old man.
"Thanks, Cap," he says.
I can't see Cap from inside the elevator, but I hear him grunt something in return. He doesn't sound nearly as eager to make small talk with this guy as he was with me. This man looks to be in his late 20s at most. He grins at me, and I know exactly what's going through his mind, considering he just slid his left hand into his pocket. The hand with the wedding ring on it.
"Floor 10, he says without looking away from me.
His eyes fall to what little cleavage is peeking out of my shirt, and then he looks at the suitcase by my side. I press the button for floor 10. I should have worn a sweater.
"Moving in?"
he asks, blatantly staring at my shirt again. I nod, although I doubt he notices, considering his gaze isn't planted anywhere near my face.
"What floor?"
"Oh, no you don't." I reach beside me and cover all the buttons on the panel with my hands to hide the illuminated 18th floor button, and then I press every single button between floors 10 and 18. He glances at the panel, confused.
"None of your business," I say.
He laughs. He thinks I'm kidding. He arches his dark, thick eyebrow. It's a nice eyebrow. It's attached to a nice face, which is attached to a nice head, which is attached to a nice body. A married body. Asshole. He grins seductively after seeing me check him out. Only I wasn't checking him out the way he thinks I was. In my mind, I was wondering how many times that body has been pressed against a girl who wasn't his wife. I feel sorry for his wife. He's looking at my cleavage again when we reach floor 10.
"I can help you with that," he says, nodding toward my suitcase.
His voice is nice. I wonder how many girls have fallen for that married voice. He walks toward me and reaches to the panel, bravely pressing the button that closes the doors. I hold his stare and press the button to open the doors. "I've got it." He nods as if he understands, but there's still a wicked gleam in his eyes that reaffirms my immediate dislike of him. He steps out of the elevator and turns to face me before walking away.
"Catch you later, Tate," he says, just as the doors close.
I frown, not comfortable with the fact that the only two people I've